We got a couple sad news stories. One of them I put up on YouTube the other day. I didn't get a chance to do a podcast on it, but we lost baseball player Hank Aaron the other day. One of the greatest players to ever play the game. And this was right after Babe Ruth had retired. But Hank Aaron was one of the best power hitters in baseball. He batted 300 or higher at least 14 different times, and he was one of only three players to hit 30 home runs or more in a season, 15, like 14 or 15 different times. The other two, I think, were Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds. But Hank Aaron had gotten 3,771 career hits, and he hit on broke Babe Ruth's record of 714 homers by and Hank Aaron had retired 755 homers, and this was before Barry Bonds came along, and Barry Bonds now is the record holder in home runs. But Hank Aaron finished out his career with a 305 batting average and 240 career stolen bases. He's also the record holder for most career RBIs with 2,297, which is a record that still has yet to be passed. He mainly pl he played for when he got drafted in the 50s. He started off with a Negro League team called the Indianapolis Clowns, and then he had a brief stint in the minors in the 50s, and then he made his debut in 1954 with the Braves. At the time, they were based in Milwaukee, and he spent and then from 19 and then he, the Braves were based in Milwaukee from 54 to 65 before moving to Atlanta in 66, and they've been there ever since. He spent 20 he played 23 years in baseball from 54 to 76. He played 21 years with Atlanta and finished out the last 2 years of his career with Milwaukee, with the Milwaukee Brewers, which the Milwaukee Brewers are now a National League team. And he was selected to 21 different All-Star games. There was only 2 years in his career where he didn't make it. But when he died, he was 86 years old, so and it kind of sucks that he died 2 weeks before he was to turn 87, but you know, shit does happen. So that's really it on him there. And then the other one we have is Larry King dying, well-known broadcaster on TV. Larry King was born Lawrence was born I'm sorry Lawrence he was born Lawrence Harvey Ziegler, so King, I don't know where he got that one from. Was born on November 19, 1933. He died January 23, 2021. Was an American television host, radio host, and paid spokesperson whose work was recognized with awards including two Peabodys, an Emmy Award, and 10 Cable ACE Award, and 10 Cable ACE Awards. Let's see. But the odd thing about Larry King is that he was married 8 different times, but he was married. But even though they counted as 7, because he married one of the wives twice. So he was even though he was married 8 times, but to 7 different women. King began as a local Florida journalist and radio interviewer in the 1950s and 60s, and gained prominence beginning in 1978 as a host of the Larry King Show, which was an all-night nationwide call-in program heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System. From 1985 to 2010, King had hosted the nightly interview television program Larry King Live on CNN. From 2012 to 2020, he hosted Larry King Now, which aired on Hulu, Oro TV, and the RT America. He continued to host Politicking with Larry King, which is a weekly political talk show which aired weekly on the same two channels from 2013 up until his death. So that's but he was but he and he was also well known because he interviewed over 60,000 different celebrities in his career. But there really isn't much to go on because it would be a long ramble, but even though he was well respected. Also, I was watching this movie earlier called Richard Jewell, which was based on a security guard that basically had worked at Centennial Park when a bomb explosion went off. And I just got done watching the movie. And the way that they treated him was fucking pathetic. I mean, it's bad enough to try to fucking lay something on somebody who was innocent and try to make them out to be the scapegoat. But for some reason, they were adamant that this guy Richard had did it, but obviously it turned out it wasn't him, it was somebody else. And they just ate him alive. They just fucking crucified this fucker. And I said, how fucking bad does it have to be that the guy was a hero and you fucking made him out to be a murderer? But I would give the movie 5 stars myself in the aspect of watching it because they portrayed it pretty well. but they crucified him, and basically it was like he was never the same really after this whole shit happened, because all he ever wanted to be was a cop. That's all he ever wanted to be. That was his dream. He believed in protecting people, but the people that he swore to protect fucking treated him like shit. And so eventually Richard had basically it states in the movie that Richard did die back in 2007 from complications due to diabetes and heart failure. Now his mother is still alive, but his mother Bobby is in her 80s, I think, or something like that, so she's still alive. And then I started watching the Butler, which was based on a butler that served that that was basically that worked the White House, and he served under 8 different presidents. Now the thing is about the movie about the Butler, they use a fake name in the movie, but it's based, even though the movie is based on a true story, they used the name Cecil in the movie. They called the guy Cecil Gaines, but that wasn't the guy's real name. The character Cecil Gaines is based on a guy named Eugene Allen who served in the pre who served as a butler in the White House. So that's about that there, and I still gotta finish up watching the Rambo movies. I got through the first two, and I still gotta watch the third, fourth, and fifth, and then I still have to watch Ali, and I still gonna finish up watching the series of House and my other two movies, The Butler and Marshall, or the other ones I still gotta finish watching too. So, yeah, like I said, it's gonna keep me busy for a while. Especially with my books I've been reading too. I still gotta read up all my books. And I'm in the middle of reading the Bob Woodward book Rage. I think I'm on a page 114, which is still and I still got like another 250 pages or something like that to read in it before I move on to my next book. Hold on a second here. Oh, here's a good one. Oh yeah, my new shirt came in today. I took a picture of it on my Instagram channel, and I also took it on and I also took a, and I also recorded it on YouTube. My YouTube channel, Random Mike, on there, and so you'll probably see it on one of the videos I have. But the shirt says, "Once you taste my meat, you're gonna wanna swallow." I said that's the shirt I got. It was pretty fucking hysterical. Even though Pumpkin Tits is out of office, and Pumpkin Tits is 4 years as a squatter, he told over 30,000 lies, and which it comes out to 30,573 false or misleading claims as squatter. Nearly half came in his final year. Pumpkin Tits overstated the carnage he was inheriting, then he later exaggerated his massive crowd and claimed, despite clear evidence to the contrary, that it had not rained during his address. He repeated the rain claim the next day, along with fabricated notion that he had the all-time record for appearing on the cover of Times Magazine, and so it went day after day, after week, claim after claim, from the most mundane of topics to the most pressing issues. Over time, Pumpkin Tits unleashed his falsehoods with increasing frequency and ferocity, often by the scores in a single campaign speech or tweet storm. And what began as a relative trickle of misrepresentations, including 10 on the first day and 5 on the second, built into a torrent through Pumpkin Tits' final days as he frenetically spread all wild theories that the coronavirus pandemic would disappear like a miracle, and that the squatter election had been stolen from him, which it wasn't, and the claim that inspired Pumpkin Tits' sycophant to attack Congress on January 6th and prompted his second impeachment. The final tally of Pumpkin Tits' discrepancy of 30,573 false or misleading claims had nearly half coming in his final year. For over 10 years, the fact-checker has assessed the accuracy of claims that are made by politicians in both parties, and that practice will continue. But Pumpkin Tits, with his unusually flagrant disregard for facts, posed a new challenge, as so many of his claims did not merit the full-fledged fact-checkers. And what started as a weekly feature, and what Pumpkin Tits got wrong on Twitter this week, turned into a project for Pumpkin Tits' first 100 days. Then, in response to a reader request, The pumpkin chip database was maintained for 4 years, despite the increasing burden of keeping it up. The database became an untruth tracker for the ages, widely cited around the world as a measuring stick of pumpkin chip's discrepancy, and as of noon Wednesday, it was officially retired. Whether such a tracker will be necessary for future presidents is unclear. Nonetheless, the impact of pumpkin chip's rhetoric may reverberate for years. As a result of pumpkin tits' constant lying through the presidential megaphone, more Americans are skeptical of genuine facts than ever before, said presidential historian Michael Beschloss. An assessment of the fact-checker database shows the dramatic escalation in the rate of pumpkin tits' dishonesty over time. Pumpkin tits, on average, told about 6 lies a day in his first year as president, or as a squatter, 16 lies a day in his second year, and 22 lies a day in his third year, and 39 claims a day in his final year. But put another way, it took him 27 months to reach 10,000 claims, and another 14,000 to reach 20. Mm-hmm. He then exceeded the 30,000 mark less than 5 months later. So Pumpkin Tits had made false claims about just about everything, big and small, so the fact-checker database provides a window into his obsessions and the news cycle at the time. When he felt under siege or in trouble, he responded by trying to craft an alternative reality for his supporters, and to viciously attack his foes, and nearly half of the false claims were communicated at his clan rallies, or via his now-suspended Twitter account, because now he can't post on Twitter anymore because they banned him. But claims about immigration spiked just before the 2018 midterm elections, as Pumpkin Tits unsuccessfully tried to keep up the House of Representatives in GOP hands, with exaggerated claims about caravans of undocumented immigrants approaching the border. Then in late 2019, he responded to the uproar over a phone call in which he urged Ukraine's president to announce an investigation of the former Vice President Joe Biden with more than 1,000 false and misleading claims on the issue in just 4 months. False and misleading claims about the coronavirus pandemic emerged in 2020, so by the year's end, he had made more than 2,500 coronavirus-related claims, and more than all of his trade claims over 4 years, even though trade has been one of the most animating features of his squadency. Pumpkin Tits touted phony metrics to claim he successfully defeated the virus, pitched ineffective cures, and constantly attacked former President Barack Obama for alleged failures, such as leaving a bare cupboard of ventilators there, and there were almost 17,000, and bungling the response to the swine flu pandemic in 2009-2010. The response was considered a success back then. In October, Pumpkin Tits was largely quiet for 6 days as he recovered from his own bout with COVID, but even so, he made nearly 4,000 false or misleading claims that month, an average of 150 a day on the days he was not ill. In speech after speech, he laid the groundwork for challenging the election and making baseless claims of potential election fraud while attacking Biden as a mental incompetent and a grimy, sleazy, and corrupt career politician, which is what Pumpkin Tits is. He would not possibly emerge as the victor. It's going to be a fraud, Pumpkin Tits told Hannity told Insanity of faux news a month before voters went to the polls. After Pumpkin Tits was defeated, Pumpkin Tits spoke or tweeted about little except to offer lies about a stolen election that never happened. And even as he or his inbred sycophantic trailer park dwellers lost more than 60 court cases as judges repeatedly rejected his claims as lies. After November 3rd, he made more than 800 false or misleading claims about election fraud, including 76 times offering some variation of rigged election, which he had no evidence to prove. At his January 6th speech at the Ellipse, in which he incited the attack on the Capitol, Pumpkin Tits made about 107 false or misleading claims, which all detailed to the election. The aftermath of what Biden and other Democrats now call the big lie hovers over Washington at both parties, mm-hmm. figure out whether there can be a return to a shared set of facts undergirding national debate, or whether one of the major political parties will remain captive to the sorts of conspiracy theories that marked so many of Pumpkin Tits' final years of claims. The events of Pumpkin Tits' final weeks demonstrated the extent to which his alternative reality became woven into the fabric of the Republican Party, and with the majority of Republican lawmakers voting against certifying Biden's victory even after the pro-Pumpkin Tits mob stormed the Capitol. One hallmark of Pumpkin Tits' fibs was his willingness to constantly repeat the same claims no matter how often they had been debunked, and one-fifth of his nearly 2,500 claims about the economy was the same falsehood that he was responsible for creating the greatest economy in U.S. history, which he wasn't. After the coronavirus outbreak tanked the economy, he amped up the rhetoric to say that he created the greatest economy in world history, which, nope, he didn't. Neither claim is true. Under just about every metric, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Lyndon Johnson, and Bill Clinton had more robust economies during their presidencies, even before the pandemic. Pumpkin Chips' economy was already faltering because of his trade war, and with the manufacturing sector in a technical recession. Nearly 300 times, Pumpkin Chips falsely said that he passed the biggest tax cut in history, which he didn't. But even before his tax cut was crafted, he promised that it would be the biggest in U.S. history, bigger than what President Ronald Reagan offered in 1981. Reagan's tax cut amounted to about 3% of the gross domestic product, and none of the proposals under consideration became close to that level. Yet Pumpkin Chips had persisted in his fiction, even when the tax cut was eventually crafted to be the equivalent of a 1% of the gross domestic product, making it the eighth largest tax cut in 100 years. And Pumpkin Chips' penchant for repeating false claims is demonstrated by the fact that the fact-checker database has recorded about 750, instances in which he has repeated a variation of the same claim at least three different times. The fact-checker also tracked three or four Pinocchio claims that Pumpkin Tits has said at least 20 times, earning him a bottomless Pinocchio. Pumpkin Tits completed his term with 56 of those entries, including three about the rigged election, allegations that Dominion voting machines changed votes, and the falsehood that GOP poll watchers were denied access to vote counting, and that only emerged in the final months of his squadency. The bottomless Pinocchio list gives a rough approximation of the types of major falsehoods that Pumpkin Tits said during his squadency, roughly 25% exaggerated about his accomplishments and 15% misled about his policies. Another 15% dissembled about the Russia investigation or the probe into the Ukraine phone call. Roughly 10% each were fibs made out of what they call whole cloth attacks on people he considered foes, falsehoods about the coronavirus, phony claims about the election, or false statements about Biden and his proposals. As the 2020 election neared, Pumpkin Tits nearly 50 times falsely reassured his inbred sycophantic basement dwellers that Mexico was footing the $15 billion bill for his barrier along the southern border, which they weren't. U.S. taxpayers are paying mostly via money Pumpkin Tits diverted from the authorized military construction project. This was perhaps Pumpkin Tits' most famous campaign promise. During the 2016 campaign, he said more than 200 times that Mexico would pay for the wall, and they wouldn't. So he simply pretended he had fulfilled it in an effort to reassure his base that he succeeded, which he didn't. Many repeated claims just barely missed the cutoff for a bottomless Pinocchio, such as the claim that he repealed a provision of the U.S. tax code that prohibits the religious organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. All he did was issue what they called a toothless executive order, but he obviously thought that it was so important to evangelical groups that he falsely claimed he achieved one of their political objectives, which he didn't. Pumpkin Tits merely abandons his falsehoods, so as he neared the end of his squadency, his campaign clan rallies became longer and longer. Each clan speech had a familiar pattern. He would cycle through various grievances about the investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the impeachment over his Ukraine call. He trashed Obama and various Democrats and, of course, Biden. He falsely extolled his achievements in trade, foreign policy, the economy, and immigration. He offered false assurances about the pandemic and warned darkly about fraud in the upcoming election, and there was no fraud anyway. The growth of falsehoods over the course of Pumpkin Tits' squadroncy is illustrated by one remarkable statistic. The fact-checker team had recorded 492 suspect claims in Pumpkin Tits' first 100 days. Just on November 2nd, the day before the 2020 election, Pumpkin Tits made 503 false or misleading claims as he barnstormed across the country in a desperate effort to save his failed squadroncy. The database website has a search engine that will quickly locate suspect statements made by Pumpkin Tits, and readers can also isolate claims by time period, subject, or venue. Maintaining the database over 4 years required detailed examination of every Pumpkin Tits speech and news conference and press gaggle, campaign rally, and interview, as well as more than 25,000 tweets. The fact checks of Pumpkin Tits' statements in the database amount to about 5 million words. The database includes any statement that might merit two more Pinocchios under the fact-checker's rating scale. Pumpkin Tits often would repeat the same falsehood two or more times in a speech, but only one instance of a claim per venue would be counted. The database did not include Facebook posts because they were often duplicative of tweets and likely staff-generated, the tally also generally did not count retweets except for retweets of false or misleading claims. Yeah, so now I'm eating one of my favorite things while I'm here. It's actually like a dessert. Pumpkin pie, other than blueberry pie, are my two favorite pies to eat. And so I'm eating pumpkin pie because we ran out of blueberry last week at my home. And I'd love to eat mine with whipped cream, which is what I'm eating it with. Yeah, so that's that there. My dumbass brother somehow messed up his phone the other day. So now he's got to get another one, because for some reason he keeps fucking up his phones. Not to say I'm not any better either, because I've had a tendency to do that to my phones too. I have a tendency to drop them. Not intentionally, but sometimes when somebody comes up right behind me and they fucking walk right past me and scares the shit out of me, then yeah. That's usually what happens there. Oh, shit. I'm killing time until, I'm killing time until those basketball games start at like 7. So that think. Oh, let me see what game that is. I'm probably gonna pass up on the Bulls game because I know who they're playing. And more than likely, the game that they're playing tonight will be a loss for them anyway because they're playing the Lakers. And the Lakers have that arrogant fucking queen, LeBron, on their team, and who has a tendency to flop and get away with everything. So that's gonna be a loss for the Bulls right there. Let's see, the game that I'm waiting on is Miami and Brooklyn, and I'm gonna watch that. And I do work tomorrow, but I don't have to work until 3 in the afternoon, so might as well, I could sleep in for a little bit for that part, so. And just to let everybody know who's a basketball fan, Stephen Curry is closing in on being second all time on most threes made, and he's got to pass up Reggie Miller. I think. See, he would pass up Reggie Miller, but I'm trying to think how many threes he needed if he passed him up yet or not. Let me see. Here, trying to figure this out. Because Ray Allen, I know Ray Allen holds the record for the most threes made. And I think, see, because Ray Allen's number one, and then Reggie Miller's number two, and I think Stephen's three, but Stephen's working on being number two. Let's see here what he's got. Okay, right now Stephen is sitting at 2,557 threes, and I think Reggie Miller had 2,560 something, but let me see. Nope, that's not the one I was looking for. Hold on. Here, Reggie Miller. Okay, so yeah, so Stephen's three 3-pointers away from tying Reggie, and four away from passing him. So he needs 4 threes the next game that they play to be able to pass him up. And Reggie Miller was one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, other than Ray Allen, and Stephen is now one of those in the elite for that. And because the Washington Wizards have been shorthanded, the Toronto Raptors had Alex Len, and they released him. And according to reports today, the Washington Wizards picked up Alex Len because they've been shorthanded and they've been canceling all their games because they didn't have enough players. So they picked up 2 players today, and Alex Len is one of them. And Ray Allen holds the record for the most threes made with 2,973. So Stephen still needs about 400 threes to break Ray Allen's. And at the rate that Stephen's going, and depends on how much longer he plays, he could probably end up with 3,000 3-pointers, if not more. And Stephen's gonna be 33 this year, so he's still considered to be somewhat young in his basketball career, and he's one of the best players to watch. And that's gonna be the Miami Heat versus Brooklyn Nets. I'm doubting that Myers Leonard's gonna be playing today, but Myers Leonard, I think, has been injured for the past week or two. from a shoulder sprain. So if that shoulder sprain clears up, he can get back to playing, and hopefully he does. Yeah, so the Washington Wizards signed Alex Len and center Jordan Bell. I don't think I know anything about Jordan Bell, but I know Alex Len. And then for baseball news, the Cubs picked up a catcher. I think it was Austin Romine yesterday. I have to look here. But the Cubs were looking at certain players because they need to be getting players in return for the players that that left. Oh, shit on. I think it's Austin Romine. Let me see here. Yeah, the Cubs signed Austin Romine, but it's only for like a year. He's not the best player, but obviously, he's got two brothers, Kevin Romine and the brother of Andrew Romine, who all three of them are baseball players. He's been playing for a little over he he's been playing for a little over A little, this is going to be his 11th year in the league, so he's not the best player, but sometimes you just take whatever player you can get. But according to what I'm seeing here, I got here Baseball Reference. He's going to be 33 in November. He's been playing professionally since 2011. In his 10, actually, okay, so even though he didn't play in 2012, so you don't count that year, so he's entering his 10th year in the league. He's got 276, 78 career hits, 59 doubles, 1 triple, 27 homers, 152 RBIs, so that's what the Cubs are getting in return, so that's not that good. He did manage to hit 2 home runs last year, so that's not too bad, but he did hit a career high of 10 in 2018, before he left. So that's that. So let's see what the Cubs can get out of him. And that's really about it for today, and I'll be back in the next maybe five in the maybe next few days or so, providing anything going on. I do gotta take my mom to the hospital on Thursday and Friday, so I'll probably be talk about some stuff then, and probably so probably we won't post again in here though until Thursday possibly, but I guess I'll let you guys know then.